Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Point to Point of the new year. It is the show where I drive from one point to another and try as hard as I do to get to the point. Today's point. What is today's point? So we're a little late on this news. If you're not in the Corner of the Internet Discord or following me on Blue Sky, you may not know, but I have been sick every single day of 2026 this year, and that has made me not want to be on a microphone. Makes sense, I guess. But today's point, where we're catching up on some of the news of last week, something that is very strange, I think, in the times that we live in, but also was kind of really cool to hear about, the possibility of new Witcher 3 DLC. And I think there's kind of two opinions I have about this. The first is the first opinion I have is, you know, why? Like, what is anyone still playing The Witcher 3 to the point where there is content left for them to play that, you know, putting this game out, putting out new content for this game is going to be the thing that gets them back in, right? Like, I did my 130-odd hours in Witcher 3 back in 2017, and then again in probably, like, 2020 during COVID. And I've had my time with that game. I don't know if a brand new, you know, depending on what it is, whether it's, like, a size of Heart of Stone, or if it's just another kind of like Ubisoft style, and now here's the Predator mission sequence. Like, I don't know if either of those are going to get me to reinstall that game. And it feels like kind of a silly thing to do, to add, you know, new content to a 2017 game, which I think is my negative, cynical take on it. But really, I think the more positive part of this, and the thing that I think about when I get past that snap judgment, is I think it's kind of genius. And it's also kind of something that I've talked about a little bit in other episodes of this show. I kind of wish that this is how games worked. I think that as we continue to, you know, get closer and closer to the physical, or like the technological peak of what games can look like, and like differentiation needs to happen at the writing and quest design level and the art design level, like we need to have artistic perspective over fidelity perspective, I think that going back to games like this and building games in a way that can be more infinitely expandable, instead of, you know, putting out one or two expansions and then calling it a day, is kind of where I think games need to head, especially as we talk about, you know, RAM prices getting out of control. Like, new component prices for new hardware, like new, more powerful hardware, will continue to get more expensive until the AI crash, and that it will continue to happen a little bit later than that as, you know, everything needs to be retooled again. And so I think the thing that I'm, you know, thinking about more these days is how can we have these longer games that have longer tails? And you can kind of see this with something like Starfield, where I think they tried to do it. I think that game did not hit off the way that Bethesda wanted it to, unfortunately. So even Shattered Space just really didn't do it for them. But I think that bringing in a little bit more MMO-style quest design is going to be the thing that, you know, brings life to these longer games. And I think that there's a good way to do it and probably a bad way to do it. I think the thing that is really bothersome is Diablo 4 could have been one of these games, right? But Diablo 4 has gone full live service with its resets and its seasons. instead of kind of building off of the mythology of a solo character, like letting you go back and experience something new or more challenging or something that makes you play the game in a different way, it's simply saying, hey, we've added a new character or a new class, time to start over, do the grind all over again. And I think that's what's so interesting about this Witcher thing is that, as far as, you know, we've heard, it's still rumored, I think. I don't think there's anything confirmed about this at all. But my assumption that the way that this would work is that you just get, here's a new DLC pack for Witcher 3. And a new series of quests, maybe some new armor sets, you know, a new story quest line that I would assume is between 5 to 8 hours long. You know, nothing crazy. Unless they do want to go the Heart of Stone route and kind of add in a whole other like 20 to 30 hour adventure. And I think that that's really cool. Like, I think that that is a good way to keep that game alive. It is a good way to keep people coming back and excited for The Witcher while they take 30 plus years to get whatever the next Witcher is out. And I just kind of wish that more games worked that way. Like, I wish that I could be playing, you know, new quest lines for Oblivion. Or, like, new quest lines for, like, Dishonored. Like, just add in more assassination things. Like, add in more quest routes or new, you know, new weapon packs and things like that. I think the part where it gets out of hand, right, is when it becomes microtransactions and, like, chipping you to hell just to, like, you know, nickel and diming until you have put $300 into this video game just to get, like, the gold skin of your crossbow. I think, you know, that's never good. But the idea that you build this, like, you spend all this time making this really good platform for this game, and then you just have to move on. Like, I think, this is the drumbeat that I hit every time I end up talking about longevity in games, but I think about a game like Prey 2017, or even the rumored update to God of War, which I guess I don't know if that ever was announced. But they added a new mode to it. And, you know, Prey 2017, the Mooncrash DLC was, like, huge. I still would like to go back and play it someday. But that is just brand new characters, the same gameplay styles, but it is a roguelite mode now. Like, you have a brand new character, a brand new location, new story to experience, and you're just playing a roguelite in the Prey world. And it is, like, this really cool concept where teams get to use their own assets that they've built up, their own lore, their own like world design, and, you know, change it a little bit to make something newer. And then they get to play around with new styles of things. And I don't know, I just wish that, you know, these teams that are so invested in their IPs were able to explore those IPs in interesting and perhaps, you know, maybe, just maybe, less risky kind of ways. Like, I can't imagine that Arkane Austin would have been able to get Prey 2 or whatever greenlit if they launched that game as, you know, like, here's Prey Mooncrash, the follow-up sequel to Prey 2017. It is a roguelite where you play as four different characters and, you know, uncover the mystery of what happened in, you know, Pythias Labs. Like, I don't think that that happens. I think that only happens as a DLC pack. And I think that's great. Like, I think that is a very useful way to explore new modes, let the team kind of basically get paid for all of the exploration work that they're doing. And, you know, as much as I like to kind of joke about it, this is also kind of the Call of Duty DMZ thing, right? Like, put out the new mode. Like, let me try the new test, because it can, you know, keep a game alive for a lot longer than, you know, the annual cycle that you kind of are stuck into making sometimes. And I look at something like, you know, reviving The Witcher 3 after being out for almost 10 years now as another way of doing that. Because really, you look at The Witcher 3 and, you know, that game does not look that old. Like, it is not like an ancient video game. It is, you know, 10 years old at this point. Not even. And it looks gorgeous. Like, it is a beautiful video game that continues to look amazing. Oh, we got a classic cop causing a ruckus here. Can't quite decide where he wants to park. Good job, police. Yeah, so I think that The Witcher 3 DLC pack, like, as much as my snap reaction is like, who's playing this game still? I mean, that game sold a bajillion million copies, so lots of people are. Like, every day is probably someone's first day playing The Witcher 3. But I think the other part of it is just that if we were more okay with games having long tails like this, I think gaming would be in a slightly better position. Like, the risk-reward for doing The Witcher 4, right? Like, that game is going to be massive. It's going to take forever. It's going to take millions and millions of dollars to make that game. And, you know, CD Projekt Red probably has, like, a decent idea of if it's going to work out or not. But there's no guarantees, right? But you know that there are, you know, however many people who already own Witcher 3 who will come back and play this game. I'm sure that the number of people who have played The Witcher 3 or own The Witcher 3 do not own all of the DLC. Like, that is not like a Venn diagram that is a circle. And so whether that new expansion that they put out is paid or free, like, it's another way to get people excited to possibly pre-order the new game, which I'm sure there will be some sort of monetary connection with the new DLC to the new game. Or just give them a reason to be back in that world and maybe say, hey, this DLC is pretty good, whether it was free or not. I guess I'll go get, you know, Blood and Wine. Which is very good. Like, it helps a lot when the game that they put out is a very good video game. And I think that, you know, when I look at something like Starfield, I think they had kind of the right idea with Shattered Space. And I think that you can kind of go a bunch of different ways with this. I think with Witcher, the hard spot that they're in is that The Witcher 3 has, at least as I remember, a conclusion. Like, Blood and Wine is the end of Geralt's story. I don't think that anything else really comes after that, which is why it's so interesting that they're making a fourth one. But with Shattered Space, that game is built up for, you know, infinite replayability. It is built to be able to have, like, constant anthology stories, whether it's, you know, in your original universe or a later one. And it kind of feels like what they tried to do with Shattered Space is what I wish that they would keep doing, but I think, you know, Bethesda and Microsoft being what it is, they simply will not, is, you know, they made a horror-ish story with Shattered Space. And I think that they could keep going. Like, they could keep making, you know, instead of trying to populate all 1,000 planets in that game, like, instead find reasons to tell new space sci-fi stories. And I would continue showing up for that, because, like, if I had a decent amount of fun with Starfield, which I did, I just want to have more stories in that world. Like, that is what draws me to Bethesda games. And I think that it's really strange that, you know, after all this time, they've put out one expansion and I guess maybe a couple of quest packs. I don't even know if that's true. That might just be Creative Club stuff. But there's an opportunity here to keep these games alive and, like, trickle new players in, because, like, I was much more excited for Shattered Space as, like, a tell me about the snake cult, and also this seems kind of spooky. Like, I want to see what this is. versus, you know, here is another tale of Constellation. Like, it feels like there should be a go find Sebastian Banks level of story in there. Like, find the founder of Constellation. Like, do all of this stuff. Like, there are plenty of story threads that they could pull on. And I think what ends up happening is the game doesn't do well, and then they say, well, we could either, you know, put all of these 100,000 people or, you know, whatever ridiculous amount of people are working on Starfield and say, okay, well, Elder Scrolls will make us money, so let's do that instead. Let's kind of, like, bail out on this. Like, let's stop making the Andromeda DLC that would close up this Mass Effect story and instead move them over to Anthem or move them over to Dragon Age and then do it all over again. Or, like, what if we just made this our thing? Like, what if we stuck with this and, like, made this thing better? And I think that there is, like, this is something that live service games, you know, love it or hate it, I guess, kind of get right sometimes, is that I look at a game like Destiny, and like Destiny 2 even, those games did not launch great. Like, Destiny 2 had at least, like, a complete campaign that had some, like, interesting stuff. But, like, Destiny 1 was not, like, a game I would recommend people until Taken King came out. And there's a certain amount of expectation that, like, well, this is, because this is a, you know, a money-printing lottery machine, we will, like, continue to stand behind this and get that stuff out. And, like, fight through it to make Destiny 1 and then Destiny 2, like, this big, big thing that people are locked into forever because it's, you know, it's got its microtransaction moneymaker. And I kind of wish that a little bit of that ethos, at least, maybe not the economics, which is why people don't do it, but I wish a little bit of that ethos still existed with single-player games. Like, if it's not working, let's find a way to make it work. Like, let's fight through it because I think thinking more about how bad it's going to be trying to find top-of-the-line hardware, like, pushing for fidelity in the future is not going to be worth it monetarily, so you need to sell good experiences. And this is something that I think indie games have really captured for a while now, is that, you know, you don't need high-fidelity, top-of-the-line stuff. You just need to tell a good story and tell it interestingly. And there is a way for these big AAA games to do that, in a way that I think is less risky. Like, ultimately, I think putting out that Quarian DLC for Andromeda, like, if you support that game, maybe it does, maybe you spend all of that money and it doesn't go anywhere. Like, I own up that that is something that happens. But I think that you continue with that game and make it seem like it is alive and that people are still working on this, and you do the Witcher 3 thing where this DLC is going to come out and there will be new purchases of The Witcher 3, whether it's on new platforms of people who already own the game or, like, just first time experiencing Witcher 3. Like, there will be new people who buy this game to play this new DLC. And, like, being able to be in a position where you can take a long view like that of, you know, we are still going to be making money off of this game 8 years after it comes out. And it's not because it's been on a $5 fire sale on Steam, you know, RIP Anthem. Like, I think that there is room for that in video games, I guess, is my point here. Like, we should be able to say, I want to see the story through, or we've built something really cool here, and it's time to, like, build off of it. And, like, maybe that means that you're not going to hit that quarterly profit the way that you thought you were. But, like, when was the last time you heard a, like, corporate financial report end with, and we were very happy with the performance of XYZ video game? Like, I don't remember. Like, when was the last time Square was happy with something that, you know, performed well financially? So I think that there's room for this in, like, single player games, and as, like I said, as the economics of this start to turn worse, I think that space I think that space is going to have to be filled, because we're not going to be able to, like, we're already seeing games that are pushing specs on PCs and consoles that simply cannot be met by more than the majority of users. So we have to do something. And as we start to tighten down and like new junior devs are coming in when there are hirings and we need to like get used to new engines, I think these are perfect playgrounds for people to learn how to make video games in a semi-safe way that doesn't risk the entire company when you're, you know, working on the brand new Roman numerals version of a video game. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this Witcher 3 thing. Less for, you know, going back to The Witcher 3. I don't have it in me to start that game over. But more in the sense that I'm just kind of excited to see if this is something that more developers do. Like, is this something that Saudi Arabia's EA kind of latches onto? Is this something like the anthology idea with Starfield? Like, are they actually going to do more for that game, or is it dead? And, you know, the last bit here, the version of this that is not story related really, is I was always surprised that Nintendo didn't keep the Animal Crossing train going. But now they are. So like, is this another sense of like, okay, we need to like keep these franchises alive because it takes longer to make the new ones. And also, truly, New Horizons did so good. And if you would have kept that thing going, I bet you would still see player drop-off, but I don't think you would have seen the player drop-off that you saw when you said, you know, Happy Home Paradise is it. Sorry, we're all done with DLC for this thing. We've told our story and it's over. And I guess you kind of got to hand it to him for saying it's over, but also, what a Nintendo way to do it, you know? Hey, we got this thing. It sold 30 million plus copies. It was part of everyone's culture. Like, it was, like, this was part of life for 30 million people in, like, pretty much one of the worst years for everyone. Sorry, we're done. No more froggy chairs for you. We ran out of ideas. We couldn't make more furniture. We couldn't come up with new ways to do exciting things. I don't know. Seems odd to me. Feels like a missed opportunity that Nintendo could have been printing more money off of that, and we all could have been more happy with Animal Crossing. But, you know, so it goes. But we'll see if this Witcher thing works out. I hope it does, because I would like to see more of this in games. I would like to see more revisiting old games with new modes and new quest lines, because I think it's a really cool idea. Like, it's a cool way to keep these games alive, and it's a good way to, you know, bring me back to a world that I really liked. So, we'll see. All right, I gotta go. Let's see here. Drop off some Sea of Stars at the good old library. We'll catch you later. Thanks for hanging out. Bye.